to a Chat in the Garden, where we are celebrating a decade of chatting in the garden with significant women in athletics and sports. Well, I'm coming to you live from Birmingham Airport. I just completed two staff retreats, one at Dillard University last week, Stillman College this week, and I served on a panel for Mentor DC the weekend. So I'm going home to Virginia and just sit a while. Y'all gotta pray for me because my eyes are falling asleep here in the airport. So I feel great. I'm excited about everyone's academic year starting up and glad to be a part of that. So let me just bring you a couple of these announcements. Beverly and Associates has the opportunity for you to lead the Reggie Center in Boston, Massachusetts, as Executive Director of the Reggie Lewis Track and Field Center. For more information, contact Dr. Sharon Beverly at beverlyassociates.net. I sound muffled. Okay, let me bring my, is that better? Let me bring my phone up. Oh, no, here it is. Okay. Is that better? I hope so. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Also bringing to you a children's book, Tie the Dreamer. It's a book review. A must-read to the little ones in your life. Tie the Dreamer is a regular rotation at bedtime in our home. It's a fun story that brings tears to my eyes when I think of the similar relationship dynamics of her daughter. The significant father-daughter bond in Black and White is the undercurrent that rides a long and lesson learned with tie broken clock. I encourage you to nurture the child within by not only reading but also exploring Ty and her daddy's story. Get your copy today from Amazon, Ty the Dreamer. And the author is Temple University's sports psychologist, Dr. Stephanie Coakley. So we love to support our own. And when I was in D.C. the weekend, I was able to see first cousin, second, well, my third cousin. I got a couple of little third cousins who were like two and 4 years old. So I am going to get the book for my family members. And you should do the same. Speaking of books, on the panel that I was on in D.C., it was a panel of women in sports. And they took questions from the audience, and the question was, you know, give us the name of a book that you would suggest, a leadership book. And I mentioned our magazine, Significance in Athletics and Sports, but I also mentioned Success is My Major by Aisha Ford. It's a great professional development book that I use with my executive coaching elites that are less than 5 years in the business. So if you have an entitled staff member and you have a generational gap within your staff, I really suggest you get this book so you can turn the corner. So let the printed word say what you can't say. And to gain this book, you go to successismymajorbook.com. Successismymajorbook.com. You know I love conferences, and so I will be in Baltimore October 6th and 8th for the Get in the Game Sports Career Conference. Again, it's October 6th and 8th. To get more information, visit getinthegameconference.net. Again, getinthegameconference.net. And I think I shared last week that they had announced that the 405 commissioners will be on deck to speak at this event. That is pretty great. I think the MEAC, the CIAA, the SWAC, the SAC, and the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference with Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes will be on deck. So that is exciting. That is exciting. And that's October 6th and 8th. Alva Amaker, Education and Risk Management Consultant on Militant Safety Training Center. She likes to say, wants to go from policy to practice. The center has the following: first responder training, sport and event staff certification, workspace safety and personal training operations. And again, this is some really great information to use. So for more information, visit the website at www.vigilantestc.com. The vigilantestc.com. And this is another book that I mentioned. I've been hanging around some NIL professionals, some lawyers who are creating some spaces and creating some programs. And again, if people ask me what's a resource, I always refer to Surviving the Life, the Professional Athlete's Playbook for Avoiding the Curse by Dr. Tawana Smith. And my reasoning is this book is written before No Ends and Lightning, but the curse that we're speaking of is making money and losing money. So, and I'm here to tell you, if you're like me, if you ever have been important to a student athlete in a classroom as a professor, as an advisor, and if you any good grain of salt, I'm trying to tell you, they're going to see something and they're going to contact you and ask you. I had a young man send me an email because he received an offer to be a model for a shoe company. And he asked me, is this legit? I said, well, it does sound legit. But I said, look to see if you can find the person on LinkedIn and see if that is in case a person and see if that's the email, and then check the email to make sure it has the company name in the email, and go to the website to see if indeed that person does work there. But again, I had another one ask me. He wanted to get a deal with a restaurant that he frequently goes to during academic year. And I said, well, are you willing to get free food instead of dollars? And he said, no, I didn't think about that. So, again, this is the truth. You may not agree with the new opportunities these young people have, but you got to educate yourself because they're going to ask you what you think. So this is a book that came out before the pandemic that I already read. And I'm sure there's other books going to be coming out. So go and get the resources. And, you know, you can always suggest it, have it on your shelf, and pass it on. When they come at you, so that you won't feel, there's certain individuals that can't say whether that's good or bad. I'm no longer working on a college campus, so I can speak on what I think something is good or bad. CWAL Foundation is offering media training for student athletes. If No Image and Likeness on deck, this is an important training. Candy Waller, the founder, has extensive background in sports entertainment.
she and I were on the panel together. We were sitting right beside each other on the weekend. Oh, my God. She was, the girl is a training camp. Every day we got training camp. So she said, we were off this weekend. And I said, I'll come on up here. Yeah, I'm thinking she only goes to the game. She goes to the training camp. She's there for all the press conferences. And so my point for that is that, you know, we don't train our students who end up being professional. And we don't train them how to communicate with the media. We can have a situation where we have a sorry Miss Jackson moment. And we're having a lot of those because we're not just talking about those who are in a press conference setting. We're just talking about those who had to decide they're going to have an interview with just the camera. Because at this point, everybody's going to be the media. So, excuse me, they got to be on point. So, if you want to be able to use these resources, and I think it's great because it's virtual, you know, you can utilize this, especially with your preseason activities. Go to info@cewalfoundation.org. Again, info@cewalfoundation.org. And hey, y'all, I'm still waiting for Amazon to approve my 6th issue. Oh, my goodness. I just sent them another email. This is taking too long. Too long. I'm waiting for that email to say I'm live. And then I got to purchase. All those that have purchased their pre-sales will get theirs first. And then I will send it off to those who are in the magazine that get 3 copies, and then I'll have some in my store. So, what's the bet? No, we're not starting back with Meet the Contributors today. We need to get home, and because when I came out here to Alabama, my flight, I had 3 legs. Thank goodness I'm going back on 2. But, I didn't want to test it out. But you can go within the Chatner Garden group, and you can go check out all the Facebook Lives that we have to all the contributors thus far to the magazine. And I'm excited about, what we're doing here. We're really sharing the expertise of individuals in the garden. The podcast is about career paths. So those who like, what do you think about this? How do you get these jobs? What are the options? But when we're talking about putting you out there in the marketplace, that is intentionality of putting expertise out there for people. So it becomes earworms that when they say, I need blank, you're the first person that comes to mind. And then, for those who don't have products, that don't have a book or anything like that, this becomes that. I did speak to someone the weekend about using it as a fundraiser. Yeah, she wants to highlight her athletes, and I said, yeah, you can use it as a fundraiser. I did speak to someone about putting the magazine in the Civil Rights Museum in Birmingham bookstore that's attached to the museum. So, we're working on some things. So if you're interested in being in the 7th issue, email me at MoniqueAJSmith@SeedsAndEmpowerment.info. Again, MoniqueAJSmith@SeedsAndEmpowerment.info. And I still have some copies of the 5th issue in the store. You can always, and I'm really excited about this, you can always purchase the magazine in bulk for your student athletes. And I was really blessed that Stillman did that in March. And in March, he bought the magazine for his Venus Three Masses. And so I think it's a really good, again, for anybody to say it's Venus. So those are things that you said. And now I have the privilege of bringing a young lady that I met last September when I went to the Parks and Rec National Convention. And it's a delight to meet this young lady that's got East Coast roots for us, but works on the West Coast. So welcome to the garden, Dr. Tiffany Johnson, past president of the National Recreation and Parks Ethnic Minority Society, and she has some other titles that she's going to share with us today. Welcome to the garden, Dr. Johnson.
Thank you for having me, Monique. I really appreciate you. Only you can get me up this early in the morning. It's a little after 7 on the West Coast. I'm here in Seattle, Washington. But thank you for the invitation. I'm looking forward to our chat today.
Oh, thank you, dear. Yes, yes. I'm only an hour different from my regular time. So right now it's like 17 here in Alabama. And so I really do appreciate you. And I told you I was going to be traveling, but I was going to make this work.
Yes.
So let's tell everybody your journey from college to your current position.
Awesome. We got time today. So I went to North Carolina Central University, the North Carolina Central University, where I majored in Parks and Recreation Management and Sports Management. I was a collegiate athlete where I was 3-year captain of the women's bowling team, where we competed in the CIAA finals 3 of those years and won 1 CIAA championship. After college, I went back to my hometown of Washington, D.C., where I worked for the District of Columbia Department of Parks and Recreation, overseeing all of youth athletics and community recreation. Did that for a couple of years while I worked on my master's at the University of the District of Columbia, where I major in public administration. Graduated and went to work for the Maryland National Capital Park and Planning Commission as a program specialist there for a year before going back to D.C. Parks and Recreation as a manager overseeing community centers in Ward 6, 7, and 8, so 39 community centers, where athletics was a huge part of programming for us. Created a Girls Sports Day with the Young Ladies on the Rise Girls Program. From there, I moved to Seattle, got recruited to come to Seattle in 2016 while I was pursuing my doctorate, managing community centers in the central and southern areas of Seattle. That's where most of the people of color are and have traditionally resided. Did that for 5 years while I was working on my doctorate, completed my doctorate in 2020, the year of heaven, I'm going to say, but it was the opposite of during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I completed my doctorate in business administration and organizational leadership, I moved back to the East Coast for a year and was working with the Prince William County Department of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism, where I served as the deputy director. Did that and then started a consulting business, which I am very proud to speak about. I'm the CEO and founder of Rocket Solutions Consulting, where I go into organizations and help with strategic planning, team building, DEI work, you name it. The list is very long. If anybody's interested, you can go online and just Google Rocket Solutions Consulting, and everything will pull up. Left Virginia and was recruited to come back to the West Coast, where I was the manager of all of recreation and golf for the city of Tukwila. I did that for a year and a half before being recruited to come back to the city of Seattle, where I am now the deputy director of aging and disability services for the city of Seattle and all of King County. So there's some sports management, there's some parks and rec management, there's some older adult programming. I'm just literally all over the place and feeling like a jack of all trades. So that is my path from college until where I am now.
So your current position, is it over, is it in parks and rec, or is it totally in a different department altogether?
So the department is the Human Services Department, but the critical part about it is we have a budget of $112 million. $66 million of that is in contractual services, and Parks and Recreation is our biggest partner because we don't have facilities. So we do a lot of case management. We do a lot of home care. We do a lot of lifelong recreation programs and getting our elders and those with disabilities moving. So Parks and Recreation is a key partner in the work that we do. And having worked in Seattle Parks and Recreation, that relationship building piece has been very pivotal in our success in the short time that I've been in this role.
Well,
but I am the first deputy director in this position, so I don't have anybody else's legacy to live up to.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I was going to share with you something similar. So in Virginia, I think it was in Portsmouth, Virginia, under Parks and Rec, there was a location that was just for seniors, and it was called a senior station. And one of my former students oversaw that, and she had me come and do like a little motivational piece. And, you know, music made people move, right? So I played, I want to say with the Love Train, and I got them to act like they were choo-chooing around the room. And I just thought it was interesting because I had never heard of one location that just concentrated on seniors. And unfortunately, I was contracted to do, you know, more than one workshop. And unfortunately, my student, who I think is like 6 years younger than I, she passed away in the midst of this contract. But I was so proud of her because I'm telling you, there was a packed house at this event. So and the reason I slowed that down and shared that, because I want the people to hear that most times at the parks and recs, you think of youth activities and you don't think about senior activities. And, you know, the podcast is about, you know, careers and athletics and sports, and just want them to have an open mind about that. So I'm gonna dial all the way back to when you heard that we were going to have bowling in the CIAA and you became a student athlete. When you went to college, did you think you'd be able to become a student athlete? And what were your thoughts about the bowling?
Yeah, absolutely, but not in bowling. I just knew I was going to be a college basketball player. And North Carolina Central had an amazing team under the leadership of Jolie Robinson at the time. And I wasn't tall enough. I wasn't strong enough. I was a high school basketball player, but college, it wasn't my reality. And so I never thought that I would be a bowler. Had never been a bowler. Lynn Stewart, Coach Lynn, a friend of mine from D.C. would always be at the bowling alley and was on the bowling team and would invite me to come over. And I was like, this is boring. It's just you in the lane. And after a while, Coach Lynn taught me how to bowl. My first year, I was horrible. I bowled a backup ball for forever. I think my highest score that first year was probably like 129. And he was patient with me. He worked with me. And I learned that muscle memory and just getting into the gym and working out with Bulldog, who was our physical trainer, I got stronger. And the second year, I started rolling pretty decent and had an average that second year of around like 167. And then the next year around 189. And we had a pretty amazing team. Like, we were always in the finals. But I never in a million years thought that I would be a college bowler. I learned so much from the sport and just being a part of a team. The sisterhood, I can still call my teammates up to this day and my coaches and laugh about things. And we were a tough crowd. I don't know how our coach kept up with us, but he developed some really good professionals, some student athletes that are now, most of us are teachers, most of us are working in public service. We're all giving back in some aspect, just as our coach is there for us. And I think being a part of the CIAA at the time was a huge thing. We took great pride in that. And even just with Dr. Ingrid Wicker-McCree, she was a professor at the time before she was a doctor, just talking about Title IX, our bowling team didn't get the resources that the other student athletes got. And we were very vocal about that. And so the advocacy piece that experience, like, taught me how to be vocal about needs and wants and asking for things without, you know, any harm or any ill intention. So that was an amazing experience. I wouldn't take that back for anything. I think, were you the CIAA? You were the women administrator at that time, right?
Yes, I was. I was the one who brought bowling to the CIAA. So you did make me feel like Noah in the Ark right now, because everybody thought I was crazy. But I knew after that first championship that we were giving young ladies the opportunity to be student athletes and have that experience that they didn't even know that they could have. And that brought me joy.
It brought us joy. So I just want to take a moment to say thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. To be honest, my reasoning was that Division II was going to expand the number of teams that schools had to have in order to be in membership. Most schools had four women's sports, so you need to have at least five. And I was providing the solution. We added women's tennis, and we added women's bowling, and it was mandatory. And I went to the president and not the athletic directors, which is not necessarily the way it's supposed to go, but I knew that I kind of cut the curve, because if I went to the president straight up and said, if you don't have this, then you won't be able to be in here. And here is the solution. And back then there was a collegiate conference that wasn't NCAA, but they gave us money for each school and they provided a budget for each school. So the president didn't have to have a task force, have this. It's either yay or nay, and here is, and honestly, I have to be very honest with you. we did not make it mandatory that they gave a scholarship. What we said, everyone needed to give book money. And then those who wanted to expand could. So, because I didn't have time to fight for it all. So I had to do the best I could. And but I will say the camaraderie at that bowling matches was just beautiful. Don't you agree?
I agree. I definitely agree. We all still keep in touch, even from other teams that were rivals.
Mm-hmm.
People envied North Carolina Central. We were the inaugural CIAA bowling champs. And so everybody came for us.
Yes,
but those tournaments would be anywhere from 8 to 12 hours long, and people were like, bowling isn't a sport. You try doing this for 8 hours straight.
Exactly. And those who did lift weights and did do strength and conditioning, they were the ones that could still pick that bowling ball up and hit those strikes. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So my next question is, what made you get your PhD in an area that doesn't normally have PhD in parks and rec?
Well, my PhD is in business administration, organizational leadership. What made me do it? I'm actually the first in my family to do anything outside of undergrad. And so from a very young age, I've had relatives to say, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a doctor. I have two adopted moms and an adopted dad. Both of my moms worked in parks and recreation for the majority of their careers, surpassing 40-plus years of service in both parks and recreation and Boys and Girls Club. And my adopted dad is an educator, and he really pushed me. Dr. Sonia Shaw, who I met you through.
Right.
She pushed. She was like, you need to go back in and get your doctorate. Her and I were inducted into a Rho Phi Lambda Honorary Parks and Recreation. I call it a fraternity at North Carolina Central. And from that point on, as she was pursuing her doctorate, she was like, you just need to do it, Dr. Johnson. And I put my foot in the water, and from there I just swam. It has opened up tremendous doors for me, I will say. The part that I like most about it is the research component. And so I did my research on increasing gender implicit bias awareness amongst leaders in city government. I did a case study of the city of Seattle. And I'm surprised that the city hired me back, but they did with welcoming arms. But too often women are generalized, and we're put into a box that we can only be this or we can only be that. And we're placed into these very feminine roles a lot of the time. And so I wanted to get my doctorate to speak and be a voice for other women leaders in government, regardless of your interdisciplinary study or your background, whether it's sports, whether it's law, whether it's human services. I wanted to do research and compile data showing how women have been treated. Even still in 2023, we're marginalized in a lot of arenas, and we're bold, we're brilliant, we're beautiful, and our voices need to be heard. And so pursuing a doctorate for me has allowed me to speak on a national platform. In fact, I'm doing 3 sessions at the National Recreation and Park Association Conference in Dallas in October. I go into organizations, even though my main job isn't in parks and recreation, I'm still going into athletic businesses and parks and rec departments, providing trainings around, you know, increasing this gender implicit bias around like DEI and treatment and issues and challenges and how we can, you know, be more inclusive in our work and educational environments. I'm going to schools and I'm talking to students. It's a great time to be alive right now. That is that is all that I can say. I never in a million years would have thought that this knucklehead from the hood in Washington, D.C. would be using my voice as a platform, like, nationwide. And just being here is a pleasure and an honor. And so, oh, man, life is happening.
Well, you know, and that would be my next question, but with you know, I said I was in Alabama, and when I first came here, I had dinner with the former volleyball coach at Talladega, and, you know, I knew when it happened, but I didn't realize it was her, and she was sharing how the conference they were in was not an HBCU conference, and you know, how they were treated in at an athletic banquet and how they just walked out the banquet and the championship. And so, and it's obvious that the conference needs some cultural competency. You know, so can you just can put a plug in for you? What type of, what have been your previous clients, not the name of the institution or organization, but the type of organization, and what did you, what was your thing?
So, and I've worked in two organizations where I have been the only, both the only woman and the only African-American in leadership. And that is a lonely space to be in. I will be quite frank and honest about that. On the East Coast and on the West Coast, both. And for me, having a circle and a community of other women, predominantly African-American women in my life, have given me the courage to say, hey, this may or may not be a good fit, or, hey, I need to amplify my voice to help others. And so I'm grateful and appreciative of that. Platforms like this have been really, really helpful in just hearing other people's experiences. In athletics especially, it's a very, very male-dominant arena, and so having some grit and giving yourself some grace also is important. But I think like my teammates and my professional circle, my network have all helped me to thrive and survive. Survival is a thing, especially when you're in a lonely arena where you don't have anybody that looks like you or can understand where you're coming from or have experiences similar to you. So having the importance of networking is like really, really huge. And so that team that left the banquet and didn't see anyone that looked like them, that was us when we didn't bowl in the CIAA. We had a team bowling club at North Carolina Central. And we go to tournaments where we were the only black team. And it was lonely. It was very lonely. And treatment wasn't always favorable. But at the end of the day, we had our teammates to lean on and to support each other. And so I remember we would go to a tournament in Disney World every year. And we would be the only black team. But our teammates, like, we had a good time while we were there. We kept each other up, and we cheered each other on, and we came up with our best cheers for the CIAA at those tournaments because we had to keep each other motivated.
Well, my question is, okay, I want you to think as if this was a commercial. What organizations have you worked with, and what was the theme when you worked with them? What was the I guess, not the outcome, but the purpose of them bringing you in? And
your objective or what you were trying to do when you went in?
So my favorite quote is, be the change that you want to see. I think that mm-hmm. in every organization that I've been brought into or have entered, I've stepped in as a change agent and being an innovator, an innovative person to infuse energy. My energy is really high level. I like to get people engaged. I like to invest in people. I like to celebrate people. So I guess my commercial would be, I'm a people infuser. I'm a change agent. I'm a motivator. I like to invest in others. I like to celebrate all things, the small wins and the big wins. I like celebrating. I like winning. You know, there's a culture of, I guess, just from being an athlete growing up, I like to win. And when you win, it feels good. And so I like to help others to win.
And so I want you to send me, again, I know you sent it to me before, but we're going to be intentional about posting about your availability to do DEI work. Because, again, this is on my mind because I just saw the former volleyball coach. She's still with the institution, but she's no longer the volleyball coach. But mind you, let's be clear, they did leave that conference. Mm-hmm. You know, they left that conference altogether. But my point is that conference still needs some help because it was words that were used that didn't even realize that they were offensive. And mm-hmm. he had to be told by another AD in the same conference at a different institution, and they just don't get it. And so I'm going to be honest. I think it was during COVID that I was asked to submit a proposal to do the work. Now, I will say the DEI is not my expertise. I have taught race and gender at Hampton University for a couple of years. And I was supposed to, you know, get the contract, but then at the last minute they went with someone else. But mm-hmm. I want to be able to put you out there. So I want you to send me your stuff.
Yes.
And I'm going to pass it up.
I definitely can do that. A lot of people ask me, you know, you're from D.C., you moved to Seattle, you moved back to Virginia, and then you moved back to Seattle. Why'd you go back to Seattle? I came back to Seattle because Seattle is one of the most progressive places that I've ever visited in this country. They have a race and social justice initiative. And so a lot of places talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. They don't talk about belonging, and they definitely don't talk about race. Race is a very uncomfortable thing for a lot of spaces. I will say Virginia was one of those spaces for me where race was not mm-hmm. talked about. We talk about diversity. We talk about equity. We talk about inclusion. But none of those matter if race and belonging are not in the conversation. So,
okay.
Yes, I would love that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we're going to take really a short break here in the chat in the garden. And when we return, we continue talking with Dr. Johnson.
Sharing an opportunity at Roxbury Community College as the executive director for the Reggie Lewis Track and Athletic Center, better known as the Reggie. Reporting to the president, this position will manage all facets of a complex facility with the support of full-time personnel. While the Reggie supports college, local, state, and national needs, the executive director must have an entrepreneurial mindset with a background in managing budgets and large facility events. If you're interested, visit the NACTA website, the Women Leaders website, or email sbeverly@beverlyandassociates.net.
Lead, but then we just can't breathe. We want someone to lead. We want your kung fu speed.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Ford, former student athlete and author of the book Success Is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success Is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
Hey everyone, this is Yusuf Khan, CEO and founder of First & Pen, and I'm excited to invite you to the Get in the Game Sports Business Conference, where you'll have the opportunity to meet and hear from some of the best and brightest in the sports business industry and interact with some of the premier brands in sports. It all goes down October 6th through the 8th at the Sheraton Inner Harbor in Baltimore, Maryland. For event information, visit getinthegameconference.net or Get in the Game on Instagram and Twitter. So register now at getinthegameconference.net, and we'll see you there.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in a Chapman Garden where Smith is blooms in athletics and sports. Well, everybody knows me knows I plant seeds, and seeds are reeds, and leaders are readers. So tell me about a book that has assisted you in your leadership.
Whew, just one?
I know the feeling.
It's a thing. Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg is one. Lead From the Outside by Stacey Abrams is another. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is another one. Strength Finders, oh man, it's hard. It's hard to just do one. I enjoy reading. But yeah, I find that reading books by other women leaders, most recently, I just completed Girl Get Moving by Dr. Sonia Reddick Shaw.
glad you said that. I was going to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. I like the fact that it's not only a read, but it's a workbook, too, to help you to plan. And I'm not just saying that because she's my big sister, but it led me into my new role. And girl, get moving. Don't settle. Mm. Do not settle. And so it's not an encyclopedia. It's a short read. And so I highly suggest it. That's for sure. But also like Stacey Abrams' book, Lead from the Outside.
It's interesting you say those two books because we have a monthly mastermind with my Advanced Academy members. And it's a group coaching and leadership and about their advancement. And we spent 3 months dissecting Lead from the Outside. Because she does have a PDF that goes with her book, and we were able to use that to talk about the strategizing to be able to move agendas. And so so people who join the Advanced Academy, they get immediate access to the previous training, and often I say start with that if they're having some issues and moving things, getting things done. And I said, you know, you're not the first and you won't be the last person leading from the outside, but you still can lead because you have, uh-huh. But you have to be really aware of who are the players are, you know what I mean? And so that is one that I really enjoy. The title at first was The Minority Leader, and then it was republished under Lead from the Outside. And so I invited Dr. Shaw to lead a session within the Advanced Academy in some upcoming months of the fall, because I enjoyed her book so much in that area of helping women move forward. And so you said that this book helped you make that decision to move out of Parks and Recs into a position that had never been held by anybody else. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, that's correct. I had a couple of people reach out to me and say, you know, never in a million years would I have thought, like, I am a Parks and Rec kid, and that is a book that I'm writing right now. I will always be a Parks and Recreation kid. That Parks and Recreation changed the trajectory of my life, like, literally, it did. And so when the position became available, I had some elders in my life to say, hey, you have a doctorate in organizational leadership. Your skills are transferable. You're already doing this work. You've done this work. My grandmother raised me. Passed away at 92 in 2020, shortly after I graduated with my doctorate. Like, I'm already in that community, working with the same population. And they were like, just apply. Never in a million years would I have thought that I would be working in aging and disability services. And I must say, it's been the most fulfilling thing that I've done and the most liberating thing that I've done in all of my career. Every day is a different learning opportunity. But to see how transferable it is, like when you think of athletics, you have the Senior Olympics. You have the Special Olympics. And so athletics is transferable there. It's transferable with just day-to-day services with health and nutrition and ensuring that our elders have meals and that they have access to resources and services. And so Girl Get Moving was just like, hey, don't be afraid to do something outside of your comfort zone. Continue to be a constant learner, stretch yourself, but never get complacent. And I kid you not, if that book, I tell Dr. Shaw all the time, I said, if I didn't have this book, I wouldn't be in spaces that I am right now, whether that's in my government job or whether that's with my consulting firm. Girl Get Moving got me into some spaces to do some things differently, even in my business with consulting and doing trainings with the Office of Public School Instruction for the entire state of Washington, and telling them and educating them around identities of the LGBTQIA+2 community, and doing DEI work with them. And like, I never would have thought that I would stretch myself outside of what I was used to and what I've known all of my life. And so just the motivation of, like, what do you want to do differently? Where are your strengths? Don't limit yourself and put yourself in one box. You know, like, athletics is so transferable. Teamwork, community service, all of that is transferable in so many different roles. I think sometimes we limit ourselves, and so that book really, really, like, I be saying now, well, I've said time and time again, girl, get moving. The possibilities are endless. The possibilities are endless. And the opportunities are endless. And being a woman of color, oh, man, especially in certain spaces, being a woman of color, you have an advantage. So do we dwell on our differences and us being the only, or do we thrive on those? So the Girl Get Moving piece is like, you better thrive on that. You better thrive on being a woman of color.
No, you got me all having all kinds of quotes. You better
thrive on it. Either you can dwell on it or you can thrive on it. I'm going to use it to my advantage. I'm going to check every box you want me to check. Let me get the women and minority business contracts. I appreciate you. Thank you.
And you said a word right there. Don't dwell on it, but thrive on it. Man, you have blessed me today. I tell you, I'm sure you blessed some other people who are pouring the heart and got their feet stuck in the mud, and they don't know they can still get going. I appreciate you today.
No, I appreciate you. And this is me before 8 a.m. Most people wouldn't even call me before 8 a.m. But this is energizing. I think that it's important for us to share our stories. And I'm grateful for this platform that you've created for so many women to just have a space to come to. When your feet are in the mud, sometimes you just need to hear that it's possible. And that even if you're there, you don't have to stay there.
Amen. Well, I want to say thank you to you, and I want to say thank you to our engineer, Jama Harrison of Refined Solutions. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for updates and show guests, follow us on Facebook at Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.